Oh, good morning. My name is Terrence Skilstra, and I'm going to be leading us in a time of prayer. And before I do, I want to share something with you. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of being in a wedding party for my brother's wedding, and this has to do with prayer and what I'm going to share. And we were kind of, my brother and I were on our way to the church, and as we were driving, we said, well, let's pray for each other for a minute on the way, because you know you're going to get married, you need lots of prayer, right? To go through that. So as we were praying together, just driving in the truck, we were just both overcome by the way that God had been present in our lives throughout our whole life, like from the point where we were born to kind of when we went down this road to go to school as kids and you know, go to hockey practice growing up, and wherever we went, every day, moment by moment, God was there. And that's true for all of our lives, isn't it? Where no matter where we came from, that God is always there every single minute. He's so present, and he was there when we were driving to the church to get married, and he's here with us now. And my hope and prayer is that we would know the presence of God in our lives. Can we pray together? God, thank you so much for your love, and like Mark said, it's this sacrificial love. And as we experience God, it's this sacrificial love of presence, where you're always there for us, every moment. You know, whether we've experienced you near to us or not, you're always there, God. And thank you so much for being present in all of our lives, for being present in the life of each person here, and for being present in the life of our church. And God, we thank you for being present here in our community. You're active, you're moving, you're among the people that live in our neighborhoods, in our streets, wherever we live. And God, we pray that as a people that we would ever be aware of how you're present in our lives. God, make us a people, as Christians and as a church, who are just so profoundly aware of how you're close to us and you're near to us. You know, as we drive in the truck, or if we go in for a walk, or as we go through our work throughout our day, may we just experience the love of our dad, our Abba, Father, and your closeness to us. And God, as Mark shared at the outset of the service, we're moving out into the park over summer. And Lord, it's our prayer that as we go there, that hospitality that Mark talked about would be defined by your presence. Your presence in the community, but our presence there too, and that we would be a people who are present there, that we would commit to coming, that we would commit to making time for our neighbors, making time to talk to someone who's new, who's walking through. God, may we be a people who are present just like you. And maybe there'll be opportunities, God, to invite someone over for coffee or for a drink after the service, or maybe over for lunch. And God, we just pray for these opportunities for us as a people to be present in the lives of our community in the same way that you have been so present for us. So God, we pray that you would bless our time going into Battle of Beaver Dams Park in the summer as we worship there. And we also pray for your presence in the kids camps that are coming up. There's 5 kids camps, God, and as a church, we're so excited about this, and we're also a little bit pensive about it, it's a big undertaking, but God, we're just trusting that you would bring about your purposes in all of this, and that in this time, through these camps, that we would just learn to be present in our community the same way that you're present in our lives. And God, we give this whole service to you. We give our lives, our hearts, and we pray that we would open our hearts, our souls, our spirits, our minds to the words that Mark brings now. And may we be present to him as he speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're in the second of three sermons on our vision as a church. Our vision as a church. The village vision is that in the next 5 years, God would use us as the catalyst for the planting of three new mini villages. That God would use us as a catalyst for the planting of three new mini villages. Our mission as a church has always been not this assuming that people are going to come through those doors right there. That's not the way we operate. Just assuming that the church is kind of at the center of our communities. But this next slide here, so this is the presumption. Kind of like the church is at the center, people come in, maybe we do a little bit of outreach there, but that's the way church operates. That's not the way we've operated. The next picture, it's more been, okay, Jesus cares about those on the fringes, right? And so we operate on the fringes of society, and we offer hospitality, and we serve, and that's the model of the village. And we do that because that's where Jesus is. We're going to talk about that in this sermon. But this new vision, you know, three mini villages in 5 years, really? We need to ask, how do we do this? How do we do this? We don't. We don't do it. If we think we're going to do it, we won't do it. It's impossible. God, if it happens, it'll be something that God does. That's the truth. So we still need to talk about how, because it is a vision, right? And it's so we've broken it down into three parts: pray, sacrifice, move in. Last week we did prayer. This week we're doing sacrifice. So how? We need to talk about that. Terrence and I were chatting the other day, and he told me about a conversation he had with his brother-in-law, who's a missionary in Ulaanbaatar. Did I say that right? Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, for 8 years. Do they plant churches in Mongolia? He asked. His brother-in-law replied, yes, to which Terrence said, well, how do they do that? And his brother-in-law said, well, we plant a church in 5 minutes. What? Terrence is like, what? Help me out here. His brother-in-law went on to explain that the Spirit of God would come over the congregation. And a worship service leader or a leader in the church would go up and would explain, look, there's a place in our city that doesn't have a church. And then the leader would call anyone who's willing to sacrifice to come up to the front. And they would come up to the front, and then they'd lay hands on them, and they would pray. So within 5 minutes, they would plant a church. Because there's just this heart, we want to bring the gospel to a new place. The seed was planted in 5 minutes. God uses small things and small people, small groups, to make his church go forward, to change the world. We're going to take 5 years. Not 5 minutes. but the seed can be cast in 5 minutes. So do I have your permission to dream a little bit? I'm going to do it anyways. This is a place called Thorold. Bam, right? Okay. How many people are there in Thorold? Anyone? Anyone? How many people? Just throw it out. Shout it out. About 18, 20,000, about that. How many evangelical churches are there in Thorold? Anyone? Other than Hilda? okay, so there are 8. Okay. And this is a place called Meriton, okay? So that's just north of us. Aside for our mission, we have a missional family there, about 8 people or something. Aside for that, how many evangelical churches are there in Meriton? Anyone? 0. 0. It depends on how you define the boundary line, perhaps, of Meriton. But Meriton proper, a lot of people would say, no, we don't have a church in Meriton, an evangelical church in Meriton. You can Google it. Go on Google Maps. Have been Meriton churches. Nothing comes up. I'd like to invite all of you to stand up. Okay, now look around you. You're all standing. No one's passive. Each one of us is called to do one of two things. Either one, go and start a mini village church in Meriton, for example. Or in the next 5 years, you're helping other people from the village and beyond to go and start a mini village church. So you go north to Meriton or you send people north. And again, this is just a dream, right? Meriton in particular. We say 3 and 5. No one will be passive. If it's your first time at the village, I'm sorry you came on the wrong week. But hey, you can come back next week. You're very welcome. We're a hospitable place. Okay, you can sit down. We're small, but we dare to dream because 12 years ago, there were, this is interesting, about 12 people, give or take a few, from 12 different churches who dared to dream. And here we are, right? What is beautiful about this 3 and 5 vision is that same 12 churches, that same group has said, we want to be involved again. We want to be involved again. So you could ask, but do we want to be involved again? Right? Because everyone who's involved in the original plan, this is a lot of work. That's a great question. And so the theme of this service is sacrifice. The theme of this sermon is sacrifice. Self-giving love, what we talked about with the kids. We believe Jesus calls to go and make disciples. We believe that involves planting churches because you're supposed to baptize them. And you need to baptize them into churches. We started the village with this vision of planting churches. So every year in our budget, there's money aside for this. A handful of people sacrificed to get us started. What did they sacrifice? Money, right? Look down. Look down right now at your seat. Look down. Someone paid for that. Like there was actually money that's involved to keep this thing going, right? And then people sacrificed friendship networks, right? They left their home and they moved to this place called Thorold. And they sacrificed family networks, right? Because they were close to their family, they left that. So you wouldn't be sitting in your seat right now, we wouldn't be meeting right now if it weren't for those people. The theme of this message is sacrifice. Let's read our text. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So 3 points, the problem of sacrifice, the pattern of sacrifice, and the power of sacrifice. Problem, pattern, power. 3 P's. To become a pastor, you take a 40-hour course in how to write these alliterations. Did you know that? P-P-P. True. Yeah. So the problem of sacrifice, the pattern of sacrifice, the power of sacrifice. Let's start with a story. This is Cape Coast Castle in Ghana. Imagine yourself a Ghanaian while this castle was in operation during the Atlantic slave trade. Imagine being captured. Imagine the confusion of not being able to communicate with your captors. Imagine being separated from your friends, your culture, everything that's familiar to you. Imagine descending into darkness into one of 5 dungeons below this castle. Imagine being chained to 200 men, some dead, some dying, all of you kind of covered in your own filth. Hundreds of thousands of Africans came through this castle to then head across the Atlantic. Can you imagine this? Do you know what's above this? What's above? Go to the next slide. So that's a dungeon. That's one of their dungeons. And so there's five of them. Each of them can hold would hold about 200 people. And so, guess what's above this dungeon? Guess, just throw it out. Water? What's above this dungeon? Anyone else? Yeah, next. The church. Yeah. So directly above, 200 shackled men, some of them dead, others screaming, all of them sitting in their own filth, sat worshipers of Jesus. They sang. They read scripture. They prayed. They perhaps talked about hospitality, self-giving love, had a working for change offering. And the slaves could hear the worshipers. And the worshipers could sometimes hear the slaves. Now, work was done to keep that from happening. But the worshipers were numb to the horror that was right below them, the suffering that was right below them. The need was right there, but they couldn't see. This is the problem with the 3 and 5 vision. We can't see the need. I don't want us to miss the need around us. I don't want us to be like this guy here. It's kind of small. So he's a big gentleman, and he has a cake that says Sunday AM service and conferences and rallies and all this churchy stuff. But Jesus doesn't want us to be like that guy either. All intake, all input, and not giving. Jesus says on the last day in Matthew 25, he'll gather a bunch of us worshipers together, and he'll say, I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was distressed, and you did not listen to me. I was homeless, and you didn't take me in. You didn't see the dungeon right below you. The Bible says, on that day, worshipers will say, when did it happen? When did we see you homeless, Jesus? When? When did we see you distressed? Jesus will respond, they were all around you. When you didn't see them, you didn't see me. Where are the dungeons in the Niagara region? Jesus says, find them. See the people. Take care of them. Don't ignore the people in the dungeons. And invite you in a minute to turn to your neighbor and share, where are the dungeons of the Niagara region? Are you chuckling back there, Kelly? What are the specific dungeons we're called to enter into in order to lift up? So turn to your neighbor and share. We'll come back in a minute. Okay. Anyone want to share? What are the dungeons that you see in the Niagara region? What do you see? Yeah. Mental illness. Mental illness, Pauline said. What are the dungeons that you see in the Niagara region? Homelessness, Mary. The streets. Drugs, drug addiction, the dungeon. Yeah. And anyone else? Maybe a different over there, Matt?
In our neighborhood, I think people's houses can be their dungeon. We drive into our garages, we go inside, we have no community, we're isolated. I think in our community, our area, our home is a dungeon because of loneliness.
Wow. Anyone else? Why go into the dungeons? Why bother? Why bother? There's people there. Yeah, why bother? There's people everywhere. There's people there. There's people there. We want to bring them hope. Yeah. They're not alone. Yeah. Yeah. They're not alone. And what did you say, Karen?
Change a cycle for the kids.
Change a cycle for the kids. Why do we go into the dungeons? Because Jesus is there. We go in to bring out. The church goes into the dungeon so that the dungeon can become the church. That's our heart. That's what we're working after. That's why we're doing what we do. That's why we're sacrificing as we do, so that the dungeon can become the church. Paul in our passage says, "For we who are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life might be revealed in our mortal bodies." I want to pray that we would get eyes to see people. Yes, you said there's people there. We need eyes to see these people. And this is going to be a tone of confession and just a request from God that we would see people as Jesus sees people. Let's pray. Father, we confess at times our lip service, like those in the church building, to your call to go. We confess as we look at the dungeons in the world, we confess the dungeons in our own hearts. We confess our own secret struggles that we don't want anyone to know about. We confess our addictions. We confess our acceptable addictions, our addiction to our own personal peace and prosperity. We confess our indifference to the needs of those around us. God, have mercy. We confess that we're not thinking about our neighborhood, the needs of others. We can't see them because instead we're hyper-consumed with our own wants. For Jesus' sake, we long to live lives that are different. For Jesus' sake, we want to take our eyes off ourselves and on to our Father and his business in the world. Make us more like the people we're called to be. Make us more like people who go down into the dungeon to bring others out. Thank you that none of our prayers are unanswered. Thank you that even in this moment, you're shaping our hearts, that we're becoming more and more like Jesus. We praise you for this opportunity that we have to be the eyes, the hands, the feet of Jesus, to extend the hospitality that we've been shown to others. In his precious name that is above every other name, we pray. Amen. So we look at the problem of our send-or-go vision. Spiritually, we can't see. Now we want to look at pattern of this send-or-go vision. Paul says, "For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life might be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." Death in Paul, life in others. Where have you heard that before? Jesus. Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. Jesus tells us that his whole purpose was to fall to the ground and die so that we may have life. That's the pattern, death to life. One commentator said, when Jesus dies for us, he revealed that sacrificial love is at the heart of the universe. The heart of the universe is a Savior, a self-giving Savior who went to the cross for you and for me. Do you see the pattern? Do you see the pattern? Death in Jesus, life for others. Death in Paul, life for others. This is the pattern, this send-go idea. Death in us, life for others. That's it. How does this confession that we have of the gospel work out into an expression on Monday? I heard this illustration, but I need four volunteers. You guys ready? Four volunteers. Really quickly, who's impulsive? Let's go. Four volunteers up front. Joel, oh, you're perfect. Yeah, you're perfect. Olivia, come on up. Yeah. I voluntold. That was good. Okay. So let's say I need another one. One more at least. Okay. One more person. Karen, you're awesome. Okay. Okay, so let's say, Olivia, you're walking with Josh. You're Josh over here. Okay.
Like little Josh.
Yeah, you're little Josh. Yeah, sorry. And Joel, you're right here. Okay. And I'm a massive transport truck. Okay. And I'm coming along. And I'm right about to plow Olivia and Josh and knock you out forever. Okay. But Joel, you come in and you push them out of the way. And I clip your leg. Okay. And, okay, you can get up now. Okay, now you stand up here. No, you can't get up perfectly.
Oh.
You got a broken leg. You're up, though. Okay, now. Okay, so you've recovered from the trauma 1 minute later. What do you say to Joel?
Thank you.
How can I repay you, right? And you're just... You're not your own anymore. Your life, like your life, everything, you were bought with a price. This guy's got a broken leg. So what do you say to them, Joel? I'm fine. I'm moving to Hamilton soon. Can you take care of my grandma? What you owe me, just give it to my grandma, right? Yeah, you know, she, give her a hug every once in a while, you know. That sort of thing, right? Jesus gave it all. Each one of us are like Karen and Olivia. Death is what we deserve when we separated ourselves from God. Each one of us has been not hit by the transport truck. The temptation, so the extent that you get that is the extent that you get this sacrifice, this idea, right? Okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. See, it's not something theoretical, though. It's a pattern that can be applied tomorrow, right? So I heard this illustration. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, could you pray for me while I wrestle on the ground for you? He says to his friends, right? They all fall asleep. What does he do? He gets up and he serves them. He says, I'm still going to die for you. And he even compliments them. They drop the ball, and he compliments them. You know, you meant well. Your spirit was willing. You know, you really meant well. Perhaps you feel like you've been in the dungeon with people, and they've just completely ignored your sacrifice for them. Remember that they slept in his hour of greatest need. Do you know people who were not there with you when you were in the dungeon? Have you now given up on them? They left you. They were not faithful. How dare you? He didn't give up on you. Look at the dungeon he went into. Be patient. Serve others sacrificially as you yourself have been served. This is the pattern Paul talks about when he says, we who are alive are always being given over to death. May your confession find expression on Monday. That's my prayer. Lastly, the power of sacrifice. What can you and I expect with this sacrificial living, as individuals and as a church, sacrificial giving? Read all of 1 Corinthians 4. Hard-pressed, trouble, suffering, affliction. but there will be death in this church. We're inviting it. We'll wonder why we decided to take on 3 and 5. Why not 1? That was realistic. What were we thinking? This occurs anytime you take a risk on a kingdom vision. You kind of look back and say, what was it? This is normal. But remember, death and life is built into the very fabric of salvation. It's built into the very fabric of our day in, day out life. It's built in the fabric of creation as well. And there's a power to it that we can't even begin to comprehend. I've heard this illustration. In a little acorn can come a huge tree. Out of that tree can come innumerable trees. A little acorn could fill a whole continent with wood. A little acorn, right? Because in one little acorn, and you got out of that tree thousands of little acorns. It can then produce, each little acorn from that tree can produce thousands. You get the point. But not unless it dies. Not unless that acorn dies. As Jesus would say, not unless it falls to the ground and dies will enormous power be released. Every human soul is made in the image of God. Every human soul is made in the image of God. You have infinitely more power than a tiny little acorn, right? Within you. You have potential for greatness, for wisdom, for compassion, for beauty, for character, for love, but it will not be released. There will not be resurrection unless there's crucifixion first, unless there's death first. This is true for you as an individual, and this is true for us as a church. The life that we want comes out of death. If you and I were to travel to Cape Coast Castle today, which you can do tours. Obama did a tour there. I'm told the guides will tell you, heaven above, hell below. But we can argue from our passage today, from our knowledge of Jesus, that heaven was not above. Because that's not what heaven does. A counselor I respect put it this way: what does heaven do? Heaven leaves heaven. Heaven leaves places of comfort, leaves the songs, leaves the purity, leaves the plenty, leaves the excess. Heaven comes down. If people of that chapel had truly worshiped God, they would have been in that dungeon, in the filth, in the darkness, in the suffering. We named a whole bunch of dungeons. You know your mission this week. These people, they would have entered in so that they could bring out, because that's what Jesus did for us. The church goes into the dungeon so that the dungeon can become the church. Let's pray. God, whatever this 3 and 5 ends up looking like, we don't know. I don't know. Give us eyes to see the need around us for sacrifice. More importantly, give us a vision of your sacrifice for us. With that vision, would you fill us with your Spirit? We want each one of us here, we want more of your Spirit at work in our lives. We came here hungry for that. More of your Spirit to help us go into the dungeons so that the dungeons can become the church. In and through Jesus, we pray this. Amen.